This is Talk to the Experts, a paid presentation from experts in their field. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of News Talk 770.
I'm Whitney Dean on Talk to the Experts. And when you have children and they're getting to be school aged, or maybe they're in school already, you may not realize that there are options beyond public schools. And maybe you're looking for a program that fits more with your parenting style, with your kids' talents and interests instead, or because public school is just not working for your child. So that's where schools belonging to the Association of Independent Schools and Colleges in Alberta, also known as AISCA, come in. And so today we have three of them in studio to talk about where independent schools fit in the system, to break some of the myths and misconceptions around these schools, and also to talk about their individual programs and the successes that they have with their students and also with their parents as well. So if you have any questions at any time, they're also willing to take them. You can call into 403-974-8255, 974-TALK. You can also text in to 770-770. So we have quite the group here today. So with us, we have Diana Stinn. She's the co-founder for the Phoenix Foundation. You can find them at phoenixfoundation.ca. Then we also have Brent DeVoe. He is head of school at Northpoint.school. And then we also have Denise Duchak. She's the co-founder for Delta West Academy. You can find them at deltawestacademy.ca. Good afternoon, everyone.
Yay!
Good afternoon.
Okay, so let's get into this whole, the independent schools and how they fit in with public system, charter schools. There's a lot of different areas in Alberta education and how they work. So, Diana, I know you know a lot about this. So how does this work?
Well, sometimes I know some of these things, but I'm sure we have lots of help here today, so they'll jump in where I don't remember.
Yeah.
Okay, so independent schools are one option. We have public schools, Catholic schools, Francophone schools, charter schools, independent schools, home schools, and institutional schools. Ask me what institutional schools are.
I have no idea. What are institutional schools?
Prison.
Oh, okay. Okay. No, that part. That's a nice way of putting it. Okay. So independent schools, how does that work when it comes to funding and how that works?
Okay, so basically, independent schools in Alberta are funded less than public schools. There's always some misconception that we're funded 70%, but that actually is not true. So our funding is 70% of some grants, and of course, we get no capital. So when we look at the broader perspective, meaning 100% funding, then really independent schools get 35% of what the public school does.
Okay. So is that why when I've gone on to your guys' websites to take a look at the different programs, I think there's a big feeling that independent schools are going to cost a lot of money, that you have to be really elite and rich and wealthy to be able to go to these schools. And when you go on to admission guides and to fees, it really isn't the case when you think about it on a monthly basis. It's really not that much more.
Right. Quite often what happens is I ask people, how much do you actually think it costs to send a child to public school?
Yeah.
$5,000, $10,000, $15,000. And usually most people say, oh, maybe $5,000. But the answer is $15,000. It's closer to $15,000. Mm-hmm. So when your independent school is getting roughly $5,000 in grants, that's the 35%. If they're charging $10,000, then they are just on par with what a public school is getting funded.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Brent, I'm going to ask this, and you're from Northpoint.schools or Northpoint School. Brent, where does all that money go?
Where does all what money
all that,
go?
Yeah, I know. That's I think a lot of people think, oh, I'm paying all this money into this school.
Sure.
You know, they must be making this huge profit off of people going to school. And that is a big misconception.
It certainly is a misconception, Whitney. There are so many factors that go into how we allocate our funds, and most of it is committed to our staff, our facilities, and the extraordinary programming that we offer. So in addition to tuition and the government funding we receive, there's typically significant fundraising that goes into it, financial supporters around the schools, parents that step up to help and volunteer just to ensure that we can deliver the quality of programming that we would like. So it's a significant challenge to meet all of the needs that, we have. And yes, people often think that private schools are for profit, but it's quite the opposite. We look at multiple ways of funding our programs.
Yeah. And Denise, you're the co-founder for Delta West Academy. So you would know setting up an organization like yours, it's a nonprofit, so it's not a business.
No, we're not allowed to make profit. We have to spend all of our money on the programs. So that includes, like Brent said and Diane said, we have to do it on facilities, we have to do it on students, we have to do it on programming. So we are not allowed to spend and make any extra money. It'd be nice if we did, but again, I don't think we get the opportunity to do so. I mean, every dime we get in is spent on that programming and based on what that unique programming is. Right?
Mm-hmm. And for many people, when they set up these schools, they were never intending. It's not about making a profit. They're doing this because they saw a need and it's not met by public schools.
Absolutely. That's a poster behind my desk. It says, I'm not in here to make money. It's to change the life of one child. And that's just how it goes, right? It's, I'm not making a lot of money.
Yeah. Okay, so Diana, when people have questions about finances or accounting for independent schools, how does that work? Where do parents, even for just your own school, where do they get that information?
We are required by law to make sure that we post a summary of our financial statements on our websites. So if you go to our annual education results report, the acronym is AERR, you can look there, and that's where you will see each school's summary of their finances.
Mm-hmm. Another big difference with independent schools is teachers. So how does that work for how teachers fit into independent schools versus a public school? Pretty much I'm dancing around the question of the Alberta Teachers Association and union teachers versus non-union teachers. I'm just going to be blunt about it.
Yeah,
so how
absolutely.
Does that work?
So a lot of teachers in the independent system are not ATA members, but they might be associate members.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is they have to be certificated teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And all teachers in the province of Alberta must be certified by the province and uphold the high standards that are required to be a teacher here. So whether or not they're union members, I think makes very little difference in how they perform on a day-to-day basis in the classroom. Rather, they have to be exceptional and outstanding teachers in order to be a teacher in Alberta, period.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then for teachers at an independent school, how do you go about hiring them? Are there performance reviews? How does that work?
I can't speak for everybody here, but our process is quite casual. We have several interviews, a tour of the school. We do background checks. Everybody has to have an annual security check with us every year. Then we do 3 reviews a year. So one in the fall to make sure everybody understands what their role is. We do an evaluation, a classroom evaluation mid-year, and then we do a final review at the end of the year. So we actually do a fair bit.
Yeah. And Brent, yeah, go ahead. You have more to add on that with teachers?
Yeah, certainly. Ultimately, it's merit-based in terms of just performing and meeting the standard that the school has to continue to be there and be employed at the school. And it's an ongoing conversation about performance. But ultimately, it has to be a right fit. And you have the ability to guide people into different settings that might fit them a little bit better if it's not working out the way you think it should at your school. The other thing is that we access professionals within the private school sector that are non-certified but are supervised.
Mm-hmm.
By certificated teachers, which is required as well as part of Alberta Education guidelines. And that would involve language instruction, art, music, drama. You know, we had a stand-up comedy unit. We had professional comedians in, all supervised by our language arts instructors. So
you're getting able to get in specialists in.
There's an ability to be creative and still meet the standard required by Alberta mm-hmm. Education, the law.
So what would you guys say to a parent who's also worried about curriculum? Are you following the curriculum? Is their child going to come out and be okay going into university? Or maybe they transfer, maybe their program only goes to grade 9 and they have to go back into the public system. How do you solve those concerns for parents? Denise, do you want to take that?
I think it's really easy. We are evaluated constantly by Alberta Education. I've now been with the same school system with my son, for instance, for 9 years, there's not once been a representative of Alberta Education in his facility, yet we have been evaluated 3 times in 9 years at our school. So what that entails is a very detailed review by Alberta Education. They come in and they They look at our students, they look at our teachers, they look at our programming, they look at our curriculum. Every aspect of the school is evaluated and looked at every 3 years. And that is really important. And so therefore we can show teachers, we can show parents, we can show students that Alberta Education knows what we're doing in our building. And that means we have to follow the curriculum. Our students have to write PATs. Our students have to write diploma exams. Our students go on to universities. If we were not following that curriculum and then some, which all of our students do, we would not be mastering that and we would not be in business. We don't get funded if we do not follow that. And along that line too, we're audited every year. Right? Every year we are audited financially. So we have to prove that we are doing our best, not only financially, but we are doing our best curriculum-wise and program-wise. So it is a very strict undertaking that we do. And I think that's really important. And I think that's very reassuring to parents to know what other schools go through that.
Yeah. I was talking to Diana Stinn, co-founder of Phoenix Foundation. You can find the information on their school, phoenixfoundation.ca. Also, just heard from Denise Duchek Smith. So she's the co-founder for Delta West Academy. You can find their program, deltawestacademy.ca. And then also we have Brent DeVoe. He's head of school at North Point School. So that's North Point .school is their website. So coming up, I want to talk to each of these different programs, find out exactly what their program's about, the success stories that they have, why parents choose to go there as well. You can also call in with your questions, 403-974-8255, 974-TALK. You can text in to 770-770 as we'll come back with more from them in just a moment. I'm Whitney Dean on Talk to the Experts on News Talk 770.
You're listening to Talk to the Experts. This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of News Talk 770.
You're listening to Talk to the Experts on News Talk 770. I'm Whitney Dean. We're talking about independent schools. So if you've ever thought about having a different path for your child or your grandchildren, you're thinking about a different place to send them, maybe a different program that caters to their talents, or maybe they have an area where they're struggling and you feel like this would be a better way for them to go, you can think about independent schools, especially in Alberta, where there's a lot of funding for it as well, and there's also a lot of choice. So first of all, we're going to talk to Diana Stinn. She's the co-founder of Phoenix Foundation. You can find their website at phoenixfoundation.ca. I wanted to spend some time with each of the schools we have here in studio to give you a taste of what each of them are about. Okay, so Diana, Phoenix Foundation. When I think of Phoenix Foundation, I think automatically homeschooling or support for homeschooling. So how does that work? Because for a lot of people, they think homeschooling, oh, I'm just on my own and I do my own thing. But you can have some support.
And Phoenix has changed a tremendous amount over the time. So homeschooling used to be that independent model. You were by yourself. But over the 12 years that we've been operating, homeschooling has changed dramatically. So, for example, Phoenix operates 4 days a week throughout the entire year, including in the summertime, because learning never stops for us. So you are able to show up from 9 till 4 and take classes. We offer a huge selection, literally hundreds of classes a year, so students can enroll in those classes. And they can either do a school-directed program where we're setting the guidelines, the standards, following the curriculum, providing the resources, or they can do a home education program where the parent is designing all of that and we will provide that support.
Okay, so why do parents choose homeschooling? What are some of the stories you hear from your parents?
There's a ton of different reasons why they choose it, but probably the biggest one is that they want a more cohesive family unit. Mm-hmm. So it's about teaching values. It's about staying close to their children. It's about spending time with those little people and watching them grow into adults. The second reason is probably academics. And so they want a challenging program, a program that is catered to their children and follows their passions and ideals and is delight delivered. Oh my gosh. Yeah, fuzzy lips today.
Okay, so the Phoenix Foundation, when I've seen pictures of it, it also, part of it is providing that environment, a place to go to, because there are concerns. If you're a parent and you think of homeschooling, you're like, wait a second, but what about socializing my child, being around other children? Oh, I don't have all the different things that I would need for curriculum or crafts or to provide all those experiences at home. And so that's why parents sometimes feel a little bit nervous about doing a homeschool program, even though they feel like that would be best for their child.
Right. So we have our own facility. It's 15,000 square feet. There's all kinds of classrooms. We have a kitchen classroom. We have a ginormous classroom that is our creation studio. And it's very special because we do 5 themes a year, and students can explore language arts, math, science, social studies, fine arts, and wellness, all inside a theme. So that's something we do that's very unique and special. We have a gym. We have a preschool program, a kindergarten program, all those kinds of things. Technology, computer. We provide sort of the individualized experience, but also small group activities for those socialization, as you mentioned.
Okay, so how often can parents use your facility when they're doing that homeschooling program or self-directed program?
Up to 4 days a week.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it is pretty good.
And I would also think, as a parent with young children, especially for that kindergarten, grade one, grade two, is that place to go with your kids so then you can also converse with other parents to get ideas or from people at the Phoenix Foundation on what can I be doing at home as well as here.
Right. So you spoke about kindergarten. Our kindergarten program runs Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then field trips are Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
So it is an all-day program, which is fabulous because you're there for a good bulk of the time. But what's interesting is we are the only kindergarten program in the entire province that is set up for homeschooling families.
Yeah.
So you get to connect with other homeschooling families. You get to see a teacher who models the behavior. So if you're brand new, and that's a common entry point, you're brand new, then you get to see how a teacher teaches reading. What about math? What are manipulatives? What kind of resources are good? How do you use those? How do you motivate your child? What's a proper way to correct your child? All those kinds of things. You see that. So the kindergarten program does that for parents, but then of course its objective is to prepare students for grade one.
Mm-hmm.
So whether the family decides to continue to homeschool or not, that child is prepared for grade one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a great program. It's our flagship program.
And then for parents who are nervous about doing those upper grades, is there that support for 8, 9, grade 10? Because I think sometimes parents think, well, I could do homeschooling for a little bit, but what do I do when they get into those tougher grades? Or maybe I don't remember everything that comes in that curriculum. And I'm thinking specifically for me, math would just be, oh, going back to that with my child would be awful.
Right. So we do have a couple of other programs. For grade 1 to 6, you could choose a program in a backpack.
Ooh.
And it's a great program, comes with all the resources, all the teacher support you need. We mark the work, all that kind of stuff. And your child gets little badges as they go through the program, all that wonderful stuff. We have another program for older grades, and I totally understand because I don't teach math anymore either. But we have a program that's called Junior High in a Box.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, it's all the resources that a student for grade 7 to 9 would need to be able to complete those grades. It also includes on-site support with teachers who are very versed in each of those grade levels and each of those subjects. So excellent support, and it allows the student lots of independence. They can move through the box as fast as they need to and then move on to the next grade, or they can take the time that they need to have mastery on each discipline.
So what kind of feedback do you get from parents and students about your program?
Well, quite often we have children who stand at the door and cry.
Aww.
Not because they are upset that they're at school, but rather they're upset that they have to go home. So I think we've had parents who have written us amazing letters about how if they hadn't found Phoenix, they're not sure how they would have continued on.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our families, if they don't come to us at kindergarten, then another common entry point is grade 4 or grade 7.
Okay.
And some of those families have done the public system, another private school, and then homeschooling. And that we are their last stop and their last resource.
Mm-hmm.
So quite often those parents are very anxious, they're very concerned, they're very worried for their children, and they need a lot of extra TLC. And at Phoenix, we are able to provide that.
Okay, so how does admissions work for Phoenix?
Well, you show up. That's always a good point.
Yeah.
You get a tour from myself or one of the other administration staff. We go through the program, explain it. Then we invite you to leave. Yeah.
Okay.
Because we're very passionate about what we do. And I don't want people making a decision based on my passion. Mm-hmm. I want them to take away the information. I want them to think about it, go back to our website, check that out, do some further research, talk to their children, talk to their partners, because it has to be a family decision in our case. You have to have a parent who is willing to be there every day, whether on site at the school or at home, to ensure that the program rolls out properly. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's a huge commitment on behalf of a family. And I don't want them, again, to make the decision because I'm excited about what we do and I'm passionate. I want them to have taken that time. So then we invite them to come back a second time. And then we sit them down with a certificated teacher and they go through the program and they ask those challenging questions. What about my child? How do I know what levels they're working at? Can we create a custom program around this child? So if they're registered in grade 4, but they're reading at grade 1, 2, or doing math at grade 7, can we accommodate that?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is yes. So we start to have that conversation. Then we would say, do you think it's something that might work for you guys? When they say yes, they pay a whopping registration fee of $50.
I was going to ask you that because yep. People are like, oh, that sounds great, but how much does it cost?
$50 whole.
Wow.
25 if you're a returning student.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start the process. So at that point, once you've filled out all the paperwork, we send you an acceptance letter, and then we schedule an appointment. And your very first appointment is probably about an hour and a half long,
mm-hmm.
again, with a certificated teacher. We might do some diagnostic testing for your student to make sure that we have the right levels of material for them. And then you would sign up for your classes, your field trips, all the fabulous things, all the parent workshops we offer, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And you can get started over the summer because, of course, we're there.
So that's Diana Stinn. She's a co-founder for Phoenix Foundation. You can find them at phoenixfoundation.ca. Okay, now we're going to move over to Brent DeVoe, and he's head of school for North Point School for Boys. That's North Point School for Boys. You can find their website, northpoint.school. Okay, so Brent, why a school for boys?
Well, our founder, Kim Peary, has three sons who've gone through various systems from private education in the public system. And so when she approached me, I guess it was a couple of years ago now with this idea, it was really to address the specific needs and challenges that boys were experiencing within the system. And, coming to school with a lot of energy, curiosity, needs that are a little bit different than girls, and looking at how we could set up a program that would address those specific needs with male mentorship, male teachers as role models, experiential learning.
Mm-hmm.
So a real emphasis at North Point School on hands-on learning, doing, rather than, taking it out of the textbook.
Yeah.
And then integrating, that experiential learning with a lot of adaptive technology.
Well, because you're hearing a lot of studies and reports saying that boys are falling behind, and it's really starting in those earlier grades. So how do you make sure that your boys are being able to get that education or even that love of learning? Because I think that's what happens a lot of times is they fall out of love of learning in those early years because it just doesn't work with what boys are like in those, grade 1, grade 2.
Sure, and a lot of it just has to do with engagement and understanding, so that boys that come into North Point feel that we understand and recognize, and parents, that we understand that they're coming in with a little bit different confidence,
mm-hmm.
a little bit of a lack of self-esteem if they've experienced some difficulties in school. Also, on the other side, looking at boys that want to accelerate and grow at a faster pace.
Mm-hmm.
And so in North Point, there's a range of activities from field trips, to boxing, to science, technology, engineering, and math. So many things that they can do and experience that are linked back to the curriculum,
mm-hmm.
in the classroom, that they feel engaged, they feel motivated, they're excited to learn. The other thing that we do is recognize that often boys aren't equipped just to sit and listen.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that. I know that from experience. And so we're providing opportunities for boys to move through different modalities and self-direct that, teaching them how to be resourceful, resilient, independent, creative learners so they can choose within different skill blocks what they want to accomplish during that time frame mm-hmm. based on the goals that we help them set. So whether we come into our learning environment and some of our boys are reading, some of our boys are writing, some of our boys are working on math, and we work with them on making those choices in terms of what they're ready to learn at that time. Infused within all of that is a lot of opportunity to run and play and burn off energy and stimulate their mind through various physical education activities and exposure to that, as well as emphasis on the arts. So really, ultimately, what we're trying to do is build fine young gentlemen that are prepared for the 21st century, that can go on to post-secondary education, that can solve problems. Mm-hmm. You know, they understand and are critical thinkers, and they can move through problems and be leaders.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Brent DeVoe, he's head of school at North Point School for Boys. Their website, northpoint.school. We heard from Diana Stinn, who's with Phoenix Foundation. That's phoenixfoundation.ca. So more with Brent in just a moment. And then also we're going to talk to Denise Duchak-Smith, who's the co-founder for deltawestacademy.ca, as we focus on independent schools today. I'm Whitney Dean on Talk to the Experts on News Talk 770. Back in a moment.
You're listening to Talk to the Experts. This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of News Talk 770.
If you are looking for a choice in education, that a lot of times for many parents means independent schools. And we're talking about some of the myths and misconceptions of it. And then also going into some of the different programs that are offered, because there's many different independent schools in Calgary. So we've been talking to Brent DeVoe, who's the head of school. He is at North Point School for Boys. So they're northpoint.school if you're looking for their website. And Brent, we're talking about building well-rounded boys. Gentlemen, what does that mean? Because for a lot of times when people think of boys, they think roughhousing. So they would envision a program where you're just running or let them running around crazy. But that's not what I would think gentlemen or building the gentleman of tomorrow would look like.
No, exactly. That's just our staff, just to burn off a little bit of energy. But it's a great question, and I think of that in terms of who would fit or who's yeah. North Point looking for. And it's boys that are curious about the world around them, that want to be active, and then it's guiding them in terms of directing that energy in the classroom. We're looking for respectful young men, those from kindergarten through grade 9 that want to learn, that care about other people. And then in the setting that we're in with all boys, we have an opportunity, I guess I like to think of it as creating a tremendous locker room culture. Mm-hmm. You know, you think of the negatives of boys in a sporting locker room and the things that can go on there. And we look at it and think of, we want our boys to walk into any environment, be it that athletic locker room, into church, into the community, and model things like kindness, empathy, hard work, and be very respectful. So on a daily basis, we're talking about those things. We're discussing them as a group, and we as staff members, as male role models, are showing kids how to do that. Mm-hmm. Some of the unique features that leads well into that are that we have mixed grade groupings. So we have kids from right now from grade 5 through 7 together. We could have students from grade 4 through 9 working on a project. Our K through 9s will have various group projects throughout the year. And that's our grade groupings right now, our kindergarten through grade 9, Whitney. So we have plenty of opportunity where we have our big brothers working with our little brothers.
Right, that leadership opportunity.
Of caring. It's tremendous. And there are many, many times, and I think Diana alluded to it in terms of academically, when kids are wanting to accelerate, they can do that within our use of educational adaptive software. They can move ahead at varying levels, as well as being a little bit behind and not feeling that, that they're holding anything up. Because of the personalized approach that we take. And I think the other key factor is some of the partnerships that we're forming with people in organizations like Roots to STEM, I think I alluded to it before, science, technology, and engineering and math laboratory, where our students can go out and work with people in the community. We're looking at a hockey academy and a financial literacy program, a junior MBA. So providing boys an opportunity to perform, to fail, you know, that's another aspect of what we work on. What we find with our young guys is at times they can be anxious about trying things mm-hmm. in an environment that's a little bit more structured. And when they come into North Point, I think they feel very comfortable about failing mm-hmm. and trying and not looking around and wondering what others are thinking, because we're all on the same page.
Is part of that because you guys have smaller class sizes and that everyone knows each other in the school?
For sure. And I think that speaks to not only North Point, but all independent schools. Most of the independent schools here represented today and others have that smaller environment in the classroom, but also in the school, whether mm-hmm. the population be a couple of hundred students to seven, you know, when you start off, to 35, 40. So it certainly is what our parents are looking for, is a smaller community where we all know each other mm-hmm. and the communication is very open between families and our staff.
So how does admission work, and what are the costs like for North Point School for boys?
Sure. So from an admissions perspective, not much different from what Diana mentioned. Parents will often come in. We'll tour the school. We'll have multiple conversations. Often we invite students in for a shadow day. Mm-hmm. We want the boys to come through the school and really feel it before they make that decision. We ask many questions. We have an interview with the student by themselves as well as the parent before we make that final decision and just get to understand the boys before they come in to the school. Our tuition fee is $12,000 a year. Mm-hmm. However, this year we're offering a half tuition incentive for families, just based on the fact that in Alberta here, we all know that we're struggling significantly with some challenges in the energy sector and others.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've reduced our tuition to $6,000 a year with flexible payment opportunities and plans available. And then we also have a financial assistance program available where families can apply on an as-needed basis to assist with tuition.
That's fabulous. Well, thanks very much, Brent. I appreciate it. So he is the head of school for North Point School for Boys. Again, you can find their website, northpoint.school. Okay, we're going to talk to Denise Duchek-Smith. She's the co-founder for Delta West Academy, and their website, deltawestacademy.ca. So Denise, going through some of the background for your school, it's really about university prep.
100%. I happened into this. I sort of wanted to be a lawyer years ago, and I wanted to be a criminal defender of children. And in my fourth and final year, I had my law professor tell me I was crazy, that I still believed that every child was perfect and didn't make mistakes, and I was just going to go and clean up their mistakes. And he thought that maybe I should start at the beginning, fixing them before they got to that point, so they didn't make mistakes. It was quite a kick, because you've done all your time, you're thinking, really, is that what you think? And he goes, yeah, that's where your passion is. You want to make children happy. And he said, you don't want them to be in this position. He said, so why don't you start at the beginning? And so I stood back and I went back into education. So here we are 25 years later, and that's what I spend my life doing. And my kids sometimes at school tell me, see, you're still defending us because we're all crazy. So here you go. It's great. But I think for myself, I wanted to make school a place that you wanted to be, not you had to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I went through school doing everything I could to get out of being in school.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to really make sure the kids were happy at school. And from teaching, I've taught on the reserves. I've taught at some of the very high-need schools in the city. I've taught in a lot of different atmospheres, including other private schools. And I very much felt that the average student got ignored. You know, I went in, I delivered my lesson. The, you know, high achievers carried on. They had extra work. And then I spent the rest of my day with the kids that were struggling, kids that were behavior issues. And those poor kids in the middle just existed.
Yeah.
And nobody really cared. And so myself and the other co-founder decided that we would start a program where we take average children and make them exceptional. And that if you just gave them the belief and the self-confidence that they could do anything they want. And that's kind of what we're geared to. We have a set curriculum. Everybody has to take it. And I get a lot of, oh, Mrs. Duchek-Smith, you know, math science is my thing. Or I can only do social English. I'm going, well, that's just rubbish, right? You know, let's set some goals and let's see what you can do. And our students, when they leave, I mean, it's just not one or two university acceptance letters. They're getting five or six. We had a student one year who decided she was going to apply to the top 10. And at grad, just the day before grad, she's all mopey and she's like, oh, I didn't get into my final one. I'm like, but you didn't want to go to that one anyway. You wanted to go to UBC. Like, what's your problem? She says, but I wanted the top 10. I want to be accepted. And so the very next day, she's walking across the stage, and I reach out to hand her diploma, and she said, guess what? And she's whispering, like, what? I'm looking around, and everybody's looking at us. She hands me this paper. She goes, number 10. I told you I'd get it. And so to me, that's it, that the kids set goals, and they get them, and we work together on that. That's one of the things I think that we do better than anybody, and it's kind of a common thread through my colleagues sitting here, is we really are empathetic. We really care about our kids that come to us. We take time to learn about them and figure out what makes them tick. Mm-hmm. And I think we have the time to do that. And in public systems these days, you really don't, right? With the large class sizes, you know, there's just a change in I think, independent schools that we really do. We know our niches. We know who belongs, and we really work on making those kids successful. We don't want them not to feel good when they leave at the end of the day. Like, you know, Diane was saying, we want them to cry. My grade 12s don't leave. You know, they're still sitting there in July popping in because they know I'm around. I'm like, what do you want? It's just because they're so happy, and they always come back. They're coming back from university now, and every one of my grads that's been out of the city has come back to buy me a tea or buy me a Diet Coke because they know that's my favorite, and have a chat. And they come and see our other students, and they are very happy, well-rounded students. And I think that's the goal of Delta West, is to make them the very confident young learners.
What are the success stories that you hear when they go into university then? Because I think for a lot of kids, that is a big transition, and a lot of people feel like there isn't enough prep for students in that grade 11 and 12, and it's a big change going from high school to university. How do you bridge that gap?
I think everybody laughs at this, and they say, well, small schools, you're going into university with 400 kids in your lecture. But our students do so well for three reasons. One, we have a set curriculum. They're not allowed to change that curriculum. They're used to a full semester every year for 3 years of grade 12. So you go into university, and now you're taking that full course load. Our students don't drop courses. They're also very well versed at going and finding help. Our students know, and that includes my office, they come in and say, I have a problem. I don't understand this. Point me in the right direction. So when it comes to university, they're not afraid of professors. They will go and ask questions. And they've often told me they've been really called pushy because they won't take no. They're like, well, I have a problem. You need to help me solve this. Mm-hmm. So they're very independent in guiding their own learning now. And the other thing I think is just overall confidence that I can achieve this. Yes, this is difficult. Yes, this is a transition. But here I am. I'm here, and I'm able to do this. So we have very few of our students actually do not succeed and go on to the next transition, right? They're very confident. Often they'll, you know, switch faculties, and that's only because they're going into the one we said that's not the one you should go to begin with. Try the other one. But they are very confident learners, and they succeed very well in university.
So what does a typical day or week look like at Delta West Academy?
We start at 8:15 and we're done at 3:30. Now, this is one thing very unique to Delta West. My son wishes he could go for this reason, except he wouldn't want to be with his mom. We still allow our junior highs and high schools to have recess. It's one of the unique things about Delta West. We want all of our kids to be kids still. Mm-hmm. We have recess in the morning, and we have recess in the afternoon, even for our junior high and high schools. It's a mental break. They get to go out and play, as we call it. We'll find our grade 11 and 12s playing soccer with our elementary kids just as often as we find our little kids out there playing. And that's just nice because it's, you know, they need that break. They're still children. And I think that's really unique to us, is that we have that community. We celebrate Halloween, something we did on Friday. Our students, our grade 12s, got to be teachers for a day. They got to go in and give the lecture and the lesson for the afternoon. And I found it really funny that they came down and wanted our teacher policy handbook before they taught their class. I'm like, why? And they said, well, we don't want to make a mistake. And they said, and we want to make sure that, you know, we're dressed properly and that we're here because we wear uniforms. So they were really excited to get everything just right, to be the proper leaders that they need to be. And I was really impressed to see what effort they put into teaching the younger kids at the school. And it was very important to them not to make a mistake.
Another focus for Delta West Academy is also building good citizens. So yes. What does that mean? How do you do that?
It's just we're dragons, and we call it, we live by our dragon values every day. We have a dragon word of the month, and we aspire to that. Right now it is aspiration is this month, and then we'll be doing our next one, will be revealed on Tuesday for all of our students. And that's something we work towards. But we do a lot of community service work. We work with the students at Christine Meikle, which is a special needs school. It's one of the reasons they're still in existence. We're the only school that would allow our students to go down and work with children of those disabilities. And it's just been a phenomenal program. We just recently did a selling donuts for Fort McMurray. The kids wanted to do something, so they pitched in, and they had donuts and gluten-free stuff for the kids who couldn't eat that. And we raised close to $1,000 in one day of sales. And when we're only 133 students, that's a lot of money. Yeah. So they always come up, and that's school initiative-driven. So our high schools and our junior highs are very active in their student body, and they work on their council. So between us and them, we're very much working on being community members. We want to be a force to be reckoned with. We want our dragons to roar, as we call it, and take those values out into the community. And 2 years ago, we had Christine Meikle recognize one of our students for being an exceptional person in the classroom and working with a student who had never talked before. And all of a sudden, after spending 3 weeks with one of our students, he spoke, and they were amazed, and to the point where he would only speak when that child came from our school every Thursday afternoons. And we had to find a way to still send him there this year, even though he's in grade 12, so that child would continue to talk. And it's just really great to see our kids work on those aspects that we think are important.
Okay, you must tear up very often.
Yes,
then, hearing
I do. I do. And I grad is tough, because I always do the speech, and there's always a bet by the grade 12s how long it takes Mrs. Chick-Smith to cry. And so I always have to say, well, give me 10 minutes and then I'll bawl, but otherwise we'll be good. So I have to work on it.
Okay, yep. So if parents want to join your school, what's the process look like and what is the cost?
We have an admission director, so you have to make an application. And then Ms. Carter goes through those processes. We have an interview. You come in and see the school, very much like the other two colleagues here mentioned, that you come in, you get to see the school. I think it's important that you see it and see us in action. Then we have one-on-one with the student and some testing. We have then one-on-one with the parents. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important, as Diane mentioned too, that parents have to buy in. They have to understand what it is. You know, we do the day job. I expect parents to do the night job. It's a community. And from there, then Ms. Carter has them back in if she feels that then they are a good fit for the school. And then we have a shadow day. And then from there, they're offered a spot. Our tuition, I believe, ranges from just over $11,000 for ECSs up to just over $16,000 for high school. A little bit more expensive than some of the other programs, but we have a 10-to-1 ratio. So we have very small class sizes. And so that's sort of you're paying for that extra instruction time. We also have access to instruction. So our teachers are there every day from 3:30 to 4:30 for students who are still having some difficulty. And then you can have that extra time working with those teachers if you need it.
So that's Denise Duchek-Smith, co-founder of Delta West Academy. You can find them at deltawestacademy.ca. So coming up, more about independent schools. If you have questions, you can phone into 403-974-8255, 974-TALK. You can also text into 770-770. More on Talk to the Experts on News Talk 770 in just a moment.
You're listening to Talk to the Experts. This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of News Talk 770.
I'm Whitney Dean on Talk to the Experts. We have been talking about independent schools. They all belong to the Association of Independent Schools and Colleges in Alberta, ASCA. You can also find them on their website. So Diana Stinn has been here. She's the co-founder for Phoenix Foundation. Their website, phoenixfoundation.ca. We've had Brent DeVoe, head of school at North Point School for Boys, their website, northpoint.school. And then we also have Denise Duchek-Smith. We just heard from her. She's the co-founder for Delta West Academy, and you can find them at deltawestacademy.ca. So as we finish up and talk about independent schools, Diana, first of all, how many schools are in Calgary that fall under this category, and what specifically is this category? Explaining that again.
So there are approximately 45 accredited, funded private schools in Calgary alone.
Okay, what does that mean, accredited funded schools?
Accredited means you've gone through your process, Alberta Education has reviewed you, you are okay to operate, you follow the curriculum, you hire certificated teachers, and as Denise mentioned earlier, we're monitored on a regular ongoing basis. You have to have audited financial statements, you have to follow the pillars of accountability that the public schools do. So a very strict regimen in order to be accredited. Mm-hmm. And funded, of course, that means we get our 35% of funding.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then talking to each of you over this hour, each of you really have a different focus or different set of parents or children that would work best with your school.
That's very true. So each of us, we have a lot in common. You heard us talk about customizing, about caring, about creating fantastic citizens. That is a goal of all private schools. But there is something that makes us each unique. And that's why we're able to be independent schools, mm-hmm. is because we have unique focuses. And that's why we thought it was fabulous to have three of us on mm-hmm. this week to be able to share that information so that parents could see that there was contrast and difference, and they were able to find a school that best suited their child. Because after all, this is about kids.
Yeah. So Phoenix Foundation has a $50 fee, but some of the other ones, there is a tuition, and people wonder, you know, what's included in that tuition. And I mean, for me, a big selling point in thinking about, am I spending all that extra money, is that all those extra experiences you guys were talking about with getting your kids out and about, getting into those field trips, getting into the community, that's all included in your costs. Brent, did you want to add to that?
Yeah, that's a great point. It is, you know, and we're trying to build that all-encompassing cost, so we're not coming back to our families every single time we take a trip or have mm-hmm. another activity built in. And that's just part of planning, making sure your year is built in and then including all of the costs into that. And again, I can't emphasize enough the flexibility in how we, you know, have parents pay and just mm-hmm. the options that are available to make it, you know, affordable from a cash flow perspective,
budgeting perspective, yeah. as a parent too, you're like, okay, that's all included. I know every month that this is how it's going to work, and I'm not worried about all the fees that are coming in over the school year. And Denise, I wanted to go through with you. So a big selling point for anyone is the small class sizes when parents think of this, because they know that class sizes are growing in the public system.
And it's huge. I mean, our ratio is small. I know that Brent's is small too. And I know Diane with her homeschooling, even when they come in daily, you have no idea what it's like to be in a class with 30 plus students. And I live that, like I said, my oldest son is in that class. And it is very difficult to try and get the attention you need, the focus you need, and just the care and attention. And again, it comes back to everything, the programs you deliver, the cost effectiveness. When you average, you know, $1,200, $1,300 a month for your child to get that intensive education system and to go on those field trips and to get that learning experience, that's not very much more than what children whose parents are paying for daycare every month, mm-hmm. right? If that's where you're sending your child, that's just about what the average cost of daycare is. So really, you know, you're thinking, what do you want for my child, and what is my child's future? And to get the choices you need at the cost is very reasonable.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. And again, the websites for the different programs, phoenixfoundation.ca, northpoint.school, and then also deltawestacademy.ca. I'm Whitney Dean. You've been listening to Talk to the Experts on News Talk 770.